For the first time this postseason, the Flames are on the road. They take on the Avalanche for Game 3 tonight. Series tied 1-1 after Colorado's 3-2 overtime win on Saturday evening. Derek Wills joins us from Denver. Pat Steinberg and Ryan Pinder live from Hudson's downtown. Let's convene our daily Calgary Flames roundtable. And let's start by talking about Calgary's top line, gentlemen. As the Flames go on the road, it's going to be a little bit more difficult for head coach Bill Peters to get desired matchups and to get the backline line out there against McKinnon as much as perhaps he would want. Well, that means that other lines are going to have to take on some matchup responsibilities. And Derek, I wonder how much Jared Bednar, the head coach on the other side, opts to put McKinnon out against Monahan and that line, knowing that the top line for the Flames has yet to really find their stride in this series.
I actually think, guys, and this might sound strange, I think it might be a blessing in disguise for the Flames because they have tried so hard to get Backlund's line out against McKinnon's line. I think in a way it's almost disrupted the other three lines because they're not getting regular shifts. And, you know, in the case of the Monahan line, not playing as many minutes as they're used to playing. And sometimes when you don't feel like you're as much a part of the game as you used to be or want to be, I think it's difficult to really be at your best. So I think the matchup game, which Calgary chased pretty hard in games 1 and 2, will be way harder to chase on the road. So I think we're going to see more balance in the four lines and the three pairings and how many minutes they play tonight, especially if the Flames can jump out in front. And, you know, it's funny, guys. Everybody's talking about how do you stop Nathan McKinnon? How do you slow down, shut down Nathan McKinnon? Well, for 40 or 50 or 60 games this season, that was the question being asked about the Flames top line of Sean Monahan, Johnny Gaudreau, and Elias Lindholm. So if you're a Flames fan, you'd love for that narrative to come back at some point in time here.
Yeah, as for the question of, I do think Bednar is going to chase that, Patty. I think that's absolutely what he wants. I think if you can put one of the most powerful skaters in the sport up against Sean Monahan all night, I think he does it.
It's just the way, and I hear what you're saying, Derek. It's just the way that Monahan and Gaudreau have played so far in two games. It is a matchup that worries me a little bit. Now, maybe it is exactly what they need to wake up. Maybe it is exactly what Bill Peters needs to maybe get a little bit more have the ice time a little more even for his forwards and get that top line out there a little bit more. But look, Monahan's been invisible for me in two games, and I know he scored a goal on Saturday. I'm aware of that, but I do not think he has been very effective at all. So if I'm Jared Bednar, at least to start this game, I'm chasing that because my top line has significantly outplayed Calgary's top line. So it does worry me, I won't lie. It's something that's a little concerning, and the hope would be from a Flame standpoint that, as you say, this gets the Monahan line a little bit more into a groove and they can answer the challenge. If they answer the challenge, then all of a sudden it goes from a concern to a really interesting matchup.
Yeah, it worries you. It worries me. You know who else it probably worries? Sean Monahan, Johnny Gaudreau, and Elias Lindholm. And I think that can be a good thing. Get them really mentally engaged in this game. The best way to defend Nathan McKinnon, and I think we're going to see the MGM line back together because they've got last change tonight. So Nathan McKinnon between Gabriel Landeskog and Mikko Rantanen. The best way to defend them is to make them defend you. Spend time in their zone because then they can't do any damage offensively. And it's way easier to play 24, 25, 26 minutes when you've got the puck all night and guys are chasing you around. But if you've got to chase other guys around and you have to play defense instead of being on offense the whole game, which basically McKinnon was on Saturday night when he played about 8 minutes more than Monahan did, I think that becomes a lot more difficult to do. So the best defense, I think, in this case is a good offense. And we'll see if Monahan and company can get it done against McKinnon and Co. tonight.
He's Derek Wills. He's Ryan Pinder. My name is Pat Steinberg. It's our daily Calgary Flames round table. And guys, Rasmus Anderson's rapid progression this season has been one of the most positive and impressive stories throughout the entire year. And because of that progression, it has allowed Bill Peters to make in-game switches and, if he feels the need, bump Anderson up to a pairing on Mark Giordano and move TJ Brody down. They did that in the game on Saturday, and they're going to do that to start this game tonight. Is putting Anderson with Giordano to start this game, is that the right call for Game 3?
I think it's the right call. TJ Brody struggled on Saturday night. There's no doubt about it. But he does give you the flexibility to be able to move him down and move him around. He can play the left side. He can play the right side. We've seen him play on the first pairing. We've seen him play a little bit on the third pairing. And I think he's looked just fine playing in the left or right of the third pairing. So, you know, Bill Peters, I think, is making the change for a couple of reasons. Number one, Brody struggled against the Avalanche in game two on Saturday. Number two, he thinks Brody can add a different dynamic to the third pairing alongside of Oscar Fantenberg, who is, for the most part, a stay-at-home, steady-eddy defensive defenseman. But Brody can skate, and he can get the puck out of trouble with his feet from time to time. So I think that he's looking for a little bit more of that. And, guys, don't be surprised to see Brody and some other Flames defensemen try to jump up and get more involved in the rush tonight than they were able to do in the first two games of this series. So I think he's making the change for a couple of reasons, as outlined right there.
Yeah, I like Rasmus Anderson up there. I think that's the more trustable duo against, you know, some pretty good competition if you can get them out there against the MacKinnon line. I've liked Anderson and Giordano for almost the entirety of the time they've been put together this season. And when things aren't going well for TJ Brody, there's too many miscues and turnovers, and that's been the case this series. So absolutely, it makes sense to start that way.
Rasmus Anderson, to me, has proven that, you know, he's a top four defenseman in the NHL. He can play the minutes. He can go up against the opposition. And the good news when you're playing with a guy like Mark Giordano is, what does the coaching staff call him, Derek? They call Mark Giordano a multiplier, and what they mean by that is he elevates anybody he's with. So whoever he ends up on a defense pairing with ends up being significantly better. And Anderson has been the beneficiary of that many times this year. But he's also earned the opportunity to move up there. So, I think it's the right call. I think it is the decision that they needed to make, and we'll see how long it lasts for. But more than anything else, I think it comes down to just how much confidence that Anderson has inspired in the coaching staff.
Yeah, he certainly has come a long way this season. A guy who, you know, didn't even start in the Flames' top six and forced his way in. And we've just seen a tremendous amount of progression from him, not only this season, but since he turned pro. And when you ask Brad Treleving about it or ask Bill Peters about it, they talk about the work that he did during the offseason. That's where it all started for Rasmus Anderson. He's always been a highly skilled guy, good defensively, a lot of upside offensively, and I don't think we've really seen all that he has to offer offensively, probably just the tip of the iceberg so far. But conditioning has always been an issue for him. But he got himself into NHL shape during the offseason and really put himself in a good spot going into training camp in the preseason. And you know, you look at all the minutes that he played, especially in the second half of the season when his role increased and started to get some more time on the top pairing, started to get some more power play time, and conditioning is no longer an issue for this guy. So it's been a lot of fun to watch him turn from a junior player into a professional. And big assignment for him tonight. I know the Flames aren't going to get that pairing out there against MacKinnon and company as often as they did at home, but any chance Bill Peters has to get Giordano and Anderson out there against MacKinnon, Landeskog, and Rantanen, you know he's going to do it, and that's a huge vote of confidence for the rookie defenseman.
Okay, and our final topic on the Daily Flames Roundtable today, and it's just a quick one. Coming into this series, we were talking about a couple of things. We didn't know how the goaltending was going to hold up. We didn't know if we were going to see one or two goalies in this series. Well, goaltending no longer a concern, at least through two games. Mike Smith has been outstanding, and Derek, the power play has been an area where they have certainly gotten the job done. They've scored three times in two games with the man advantage. Those were two of the biggest concerns or biggest talking points coming into the postseason, and through two games, they haven't really been an issue at all.
No, Mike Smith has been their best player in the first two games of the series. So it's funny, if it was the biggest question going into the series, and I think for many people it was, it's probably the smallest question going into game three of the best of seven tonight. As for the power play, yeah, I mean, 0 for 15, 1 for 38 to wrap up the regular season. The best thing that probably happened to them was three straight practice days, because they didn't have a lot of practice days in the final 20, 25 games of the regular season. So it was tough to kind of work out the kinks on the power play, but Jeff Ward's done a great job. They've got three power play goals for. Now, they do have a shorthanded goal against, so they haven't been perfect with a man advantage, but the penalty kill deserves some credit as well. I mean, the Avalanche are 0-for-8 on the power play in this series. So the Flames have done a really good job on special teams. And it's interesting because when you look at why they had so much success during the regular season, they were one of the best 5-on-5 teams in the NHL. And I think for them to win this series, they have to keep doing what they're doing, both on the PP and the PK, but probably have to be a little bit better at even strength moving forward here.
Yep, with you. Goaltending's been great. Power play is right where you'd hope it could be through two games, and they've nullified the Avs power play, which was one of the better ones in the NHL all season. So yeah. Big check marks on those two fronts.
Well, and is the point that you made a little earlier today, I mean, even if Mike Smith falters and has a game where he's not as good in game three or four and the Flames end up losing, I don't think that the leash or the hook is as quick to go back to David Riddick either, just because we're talking about how well Smith has played and how strong he's been through two games. So two of the big concerns coming into the postseason have not been concerns through two games. Game three goes tonight, 8 o'clock right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Mr. Wills, have yourself a wonderful rest of the lead up for Puck Drop. We'll talk to you in a few hours.
Sounds good. I'll leave you with one last point here, guys. Did you hear what Jared Bednar had to say about Mike Smith when I asked him a question this morning?
I have not heard. We're actually playing it coming up in the next segment.
Okay, I won't spoil the whole thing, but I asked him how Mike Smith's ability to play the puck impacted him and his team. So just keep your ears open for that answer. It's a really interesting one.
We will do just that, my man. We'll talk to you in a few hours. Thank you, pal.
Okay, guys. Talk to you later.